Welcome to Alaska's Native Voice. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Indigenous women are leading the way in their families, in their communities, professionally, and in politics, from local, state to the national level. Women are relying on the teachings of their ancestors, using traditional knowledge passed on from generation to generation to help guide them along the way. History was made in September when Mary Peltola was sworn in into the U.S. House, becoming the first Alaska Native person to ever serve in Congress. Join us as we celebrate successes, examine challenges, and look at the leadership of the future. Right after the news.
I'm Hannah Bissett with KMBA News. The first day of the Alaska Federation of Natives annual convention kicked off on Thursday in Anchorage. Thousands of people from across the state are gathered together for 3 days for the first in-person AFN convention since 2019. U.S. Representative for Alaska, Mary Peltola, received two standing ovations. As she took the stage, Peltola made history in September, becoming the first Alaska Native person, Yupik, to ever serve in Congress. The Democrat talked about unity, working together, and expressed her gratitude to the late Republican Congressman Don Young, whose seat she had won in this special election. Peltola discussed serving not only Alaska Native people, but all the people in Alaska.
And I don't see this as a stepping stone to anything else. I don't see this as a springboard to anything else. I really just very literally take this job for face value. I want to work hard for Alaskans.
Her views on unity, regardless of party, is echoed by AFN attendees. And Kangdek, Tlingit and Native Hawaiian, works for a tribal nonprofit, reacted to Peltola's speech.
She is so strong and so eloquent, and her message about unity, tying it into AFN, but also to the state of Alaska and our need to really come together and support each other, not just as Alaska Natives, but as Alaskans.
The convention floor rose to their feet, and several groups of people sang songs to honor Peltola.
They're literally singing her praises after she finishes speaking. I think it's so great to see the impact she has on the community.
Peltola is running for the general election to keep the seat. What could energy look like in the future of Alaska? Something reliable, safe, and portable? This future could be near with micronuclear reactors. A micronuclear reactor is a small-scale reactor with 5 megawatts. Marianne Keyes has over 20 years of experience in nuclear energy. She says nuclear energy could be a good source of heat and energy for smaller rural communities.
It is factory-built, fueled, and assembled. It has 8 or more years of full power for a community of about 3,000.
To help visualize, the size of particles are so small, you can put the micronuclear reactor on a truck.
To give that in perspective, it's about 200 times smaller than the traditional nuclear power plants that have been built around the U.S. and globally.
That was Vladimir Novak, who was serving as the chief commercial officer for the ultra-safe nuclear company. Novak says that they started on this mission for a safer nuclear reactor 11 years ago.
In traditional reactors, there are really many safety systems around the fuel to make the reactor safe. And if any of those systems, for whatever reason, does not work, then we have an issue.
In the reactor, small uranium particles are used to create heat. They are about the size of poppy seeds. They are 3 layers that cannot be penetrated and does not have a risk of leaking out. Tribes should have what is best for their land, and that the stewards of the land should have the final say. A group of Indigenous women were recognized for their military service during opening ceremonies at this year's Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Anchorage. Emily Schwing has more.
For more than a decade, Alaska Native veterans have opened the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention with a color guard procession. This year was a little different. 5 Alaska Native and American Indian women were met with a standing ovation as they exited the convention hall after the procession. Juanita Mullen is from the Seneca Nation in New York State. She just retired as the American Indian and Alaska Native Veterans Liaison for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
First in line was the first time I've ever seen them do this.
According to a 2020 report from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, only 11% of American Indian and Alaska Native veterans are women.
They just started letting females in the battalion in the Navy when I joined.
That's Flossie Davenport. She grew up in Nome. She served as a CB in the Navy from 1998 to 2003. She said she never thought about being a woman in service until she started to notice some of her superiors treated her differently. Ben O'Cleveland says he asked all of the veterans who came to present colors on AFN if they'd be willing to honor the women. He says not a single man was opposed to supporting the women who have served alongside them. I'm Emily Schwing.
The AFN newscast is produced by KMBA and Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, supported with funding by Rasmussen Foundation, Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, ExxonMobil Alaska, Calista Corporation, Manilik Association, South Central Foundation, ConocoPhillips, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, and Donlin Gold. This is a production of KMBA and Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, brought to you through Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Welcome to Alaska's Native Voice from the floor of the 2022 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. On today's show, we're talking about Alaska Native women and their rise at all levels of leadership, from tribal administration to the U.S. House of Representatives. Alaska Native women are finding their own seats at the table, and there are men gathering behind them to show their support. And joining me now is Tara Sweeney, and she is the former Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs during the Trump administration. She was also the Vice President of External Affairs for Alaska's Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, where she is also a shareholder. Richard Peterson is here as well, and he is the president of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska and has served at various levels of local and regional governments in Southeast Alaska throughout his career. Thank you both for being here today.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And so the big news this week, since September, was Mary Peltola taking office and becoming the first Alaska Native person to serve in the U.S. Congress. We invited her to the show today. She couldn't make it, but Emily Schwing and I got to talk to her, so we wanted to kick off our show and hear what she had to say.
In the Yupik language, we don't have him, her, he, she. We don't have those pronouns. It's just that person or it. It really is not a society that's super attached to gender and to gendered things. So I know that there really was a lot of balance historically between the genders. The same is true for elders. Elder status, you don't have more elder status if you're a man or a woman. It's very balanced. And so many of our leaders are women, and women are seen as leaders not just for other women, but for the community.
The idea of a matriarch was always infused into Alaska Native culture and history. And, I wonder if did we see a loss of it, and now are we seeing a revival of that feeling of women as matriarchs?
I wouldn't say that we lost it. In the Western society, it is patriarchal, and women have their dad's last name, and then they have their husband's last name. And I think a lot of the history of that is property rights. You belong to your dad and his family, and then when you get married, you belong to your husband and his family. And that is very different than many Alaska Native cultures. We are matrilineal. We do belong to our mom's families. I feel extremely blessed because my mother is Yupik and my father is from Nebraska and part of the Western system. So on both cultures, I belong. I am the property of both of those families.
In Congress, do you see yourself as a matriarch for your constituents, or do you not think of your gender and the role that you're filling now?
I do not really see myself as any different than a man. And when you grow up running a commercial fishing boat, you're the captain. It doesn't matter what gender you are. You have things you need to get done. You need to catch fish. You need to make sure your boat is gassed up. You need to make sure your net's in good shape. You need to make sure your boat's clean. And it just doesn't matter what gender you're from. And I really noticed it in my 10 years in Juneau in the state legislature. I honestly got to Juneau and I was so surprised because people would have to tell me if somebody did something that sounded sexist or that sounded ageist. I sat through an entire committee hearing and didn't realize that the chair was calling me little one or kiddo, things like that, because it just went right over my head. I just see myself as just as fit and able and capable to make decisions and lead as anyone else.
Antonia and I have covered a lot of AFN, and we just see this celebration of Indigenous women who are, you know, finding these roles in leadership. When you are the person that's celebrated, like, what is that like for you?
It's very weird. I will tell you that, because I do not see myself in that category. I see myself as a worker. I see myself as wanting to do the work of being the liaison of all Alaskans to the federal government. And I don't think that has anything to do necessarily with any gender or any ethnic background or whatever region of the state you're from. I just think, for as much as Alaskans talk about federal overreach or talking really negatively about the federal government, we have a very strong relationship with the federal government. We are still very dependent on them. 60% of our land is federal land. And we have a very strong economic tie, not only in terms of the workforce and the wages that brings back to Alaska, but federal grants, federal funding sources. All of those things are critical to Alaska moving forward in a good, healthy, positive way. I just really see myself as somebody who takes the job seriously and wants to work hard for Alaska.
And of course, that's Alaska's representative. And joining me now are Richard Peterson and Tara Sweeney. And Tara, I want to start with you. Just please first introduce yourself, and then we'll get your reaction to everything that Mary had to say.
Sure. Well, good morning. I am Tara Sweeney, Utqiagvik Miunglu. I'm from the North Slope, from Barrow, Utqiagvik. And I come from the Amarawak and Paniyuk families.
And just, you know, I saw, you know, some nodding and some a little, you know, just hearing what Mary had to say. Go ahead, and what some of the things that stuck out to you?
Well, I'm very proud of Mary Peltola, and having someone who looks like us and understands who we are as Alaska Natives representing our people in the United States Congress. She raised some excellent points, and I do believe that she has a servant's heart.
And one part about it that she talked about was holding the federal government accountable. You know, you were a federal employee, and mm-hmm. Having that seat and being an Alaska Native person, that was historic for you to be in the position you were in as well, mm-hmm. During your time in the presidential administration. So why is that important? Why do Native people need to be in all levels of government?
I strongly believe that representation from the Native American community is extremely important, whether it is in the United States Senate, the House of Representatives, or in every single agency across the administration, because there is such a void in the federal government, an understanding of why we are who we are as Alaska Natives, as American Indians, Native Hawaiians, and lending that perspective and that advocacy to the issues before the federal government by a Native person certainly benefits the communities that we are called upon to serve.
And Richard, go ahead and please introduce yourself, and then we'll get your comments on what you heard.
Sure. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Shakyak Ish, Richard Peterson. I'm President Clinton Haida. This is a really exciting time. I come from a matrilineal society. We literally are who our mothers were. I should say. And so my lineage traced back since the beginning of time, because all of my lineage has been Native. I can track to my place and everything because of who the women were. And so to me, I grew up very young, 19-year-old mayor in my village, a 21-year-old tribal president, serving with predominantly women-led councils. It just kind of makes sense to me. And also, you know, representation matters. And Tara so nailed it on the head about we need to fill these spaces. This is so important now. I always feel that every time there's turnover, we are starting over with administrations, having to educate them on who we are. So at every level, from local all the way up state and federal, we need to fill these positions. And I'm really excited to sit here next to Tara, who it was historic. And she filled like one of the top, you know, just she was an appointee. I mean, that's incredible. And we didn't have to go in and educate her about Alaska, Alaska Natives. And, you know, 229 tribes in Alaska, 23 very distinct language bases in Alaska. We're not the same people. We'll have differences, but we have a basic understanding. And so that representation is so incredible. And honestly, you know, in this current administration, we're seeing that more than we ever have before, even in the White House with Paui Rivera in there, and just that level, Libby Washburn was there. All of these people, it's incredible. And I got to be at the White House when Ketanji, for the Supreme Court, right? And I saw her daughters, and I got overwhelmed. I was sitting next to Brian Ridley from TCC, and I got choked up, and I was like, I looked at Brian, I said, her daughters, they're growing up thinking they can be anything they want because they see their mother being that. And I think of like Tara, now Mary, our people see that. Whether we're related or not related, we see that and we're like, we can aspire to these things.
And what are some of the things that stuck out to you when you were hearing Mary talk?
You know, we're so polarized now in our country by Republican, Democrat. I'm proud to say I don't want to be either. I just want to be an Alaskan. And with Mary, I hear her very distinctly sounding like an Alaskan.
And Tara, Richard mentioned little girls. And, you know, all these things from Supreme Court to these positions. We have Deb Haaland, who's Secretary of the Interior. And it's not just... I think when these things happen, we even have Valerie Davidson, who is in a high state position. So when these things happen, it's not just Alaska Natives. It's all of Indian country gets so excited and celebrates women. And even, you know, other people who are elevated to these positions. So go ahead, Tara.
That's an excellent point. I was recently in Iceland for the Arctic Circle convention that happens every year in October, and I felt exactly the same way as you're describing when I saw Mary Simon stand up on the stage. When I was a little girl, she had traveled all across the Arctic representing Inuit through the Inuit Circumpolar Council, and so I grew up watching her career. And when she was appointed Governor General of Canada, there was so much pride, and with the news and just that extremely high public position, there was so much pride. And when I saw her on the stage in Iceland, I like Richard, just was so overwhelmed with emotion for pride and what she represented. And it became extremely clear to me that she didn't just represent Inuit from Canada. She didn't just represent Canadians. She represented all of us. And so when you see Native American women who are breaking barriers, breaking down barriers, that's just, I would say, a modern way for us to kind of pave that path for the next generation.
And it's not just in government positions as well. I mean, we have a woman president of the National Congress of American Indians. There's other organizations where there's strong leadership, whether it's education, housing, these different organizations that represent Native people across the United States. Richard, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting because it's like there's some kind of Native renaissance right now, right? Media, we have our own Quanah Chasing Horse Potts, who's like hit this supermodel level. We have representation coming up like on reservation dogs on TV, and we see those young ladies and those young men on there. DeFaro is here this week and was at Elders and Youth. And it was pretty incredible to see our youth and elders actually respond to them. And, you know, Quanna in her, we were on a panel together and I moderated, and she talked about how we need to fill every space. And so we as Indigenous people, women, everybody, we need to see ourselves represented in the world, in our places. When I go to our clinics, I want to see our people as our doctors, as our nurses. You know, it's a feeling of comfort and safety. But we all need to know that we belong in this place. And, you know, this is all Native land, and that means we should fill every space possible. And we should unapologetically, without fear, fill those spaces. And again, seeing people like Tara and now Mary and our own people fill those, I hope our youth at Elders and Youth see that and say, I want to be that someday. I want to be, you know, working for the Department of Interior. I want to be the, you know, running our largest Native healthcare system in the country, like Val Davidson is, who, you know, was a former lieutenant governor, and, she's filled those high roles, and hopefully it's just more and more, and people are breaking those trails for us.
And you're listening to Alaska's Native Voice. We're talking about Alaska Native women and all leadership positions. And we're going to have to go to break here in a few minutes. But Richard, before you leave us, how can men help Native women? How can men be the support system?
I think that's a really good question. I think you show up and you support and you be there. And you sometimes just get out of the way and shut up. You know, literally, I've been in that role as a male, and it's so easy to overshadow almost anybody else in the room. But usually women come in and they're already at that deficit because of the societal ways, and you just need to step aside and give them that space and put your ego aside, because you know what, their success is our success. I want my sisters to be successful and my mothers to be successful, why wouldn't I want other women? And so just get out of their way.
Well, thank you for that. And anything else you'd like to say before we go to break in a couple minutes here?
No, only that it's just an incredibly exciting time right now. We're seeing some really good changes. And I said, like, even in, you know, media, and I'm a huge fan of reservation dogs. And seeing that representation, I didn't grow up with that. We, you know, outside of our homes and our culture and our villages, I didn't see myself represented. I didn't turn on the TV and see myself. I didn't have, you know, people, our cultural institutions are putting out books. They're putting out all this media. And, you know, there's Molly of Denali now. And our kiddos are growing up and they identify with that, and they see that. And now they don't feel like they can't do that because they're seeing it.
Definitely, for sure. Just want to thank you for being on our program today. And it just reminds me, too, of a personal story of growing up. Same thing. We didn't have that. We didn't have cartoon shows. We didn't even have toys. And so my mother, a full-blooded Navajo, proud citizen of the Navajo Nation, she made me dolls that were brown. And I didn't understand that at the time. But now I do. And now I don't have daughters, but I have two sons. But representation is really important. And Tara, we have just a couple minutes before we go to break, but I wanted to hear what you had to say about how men are supporting or can be support systems.
Well, I certainly echo the sentiment that Richard just shared about getting out of the way sometimes. But finding that balance, working and seeking out women in leadership positions, whether it is in government or within the creative arts community, finding ways to help amplify those voices, to help amplify those perspectives in all facets that men are involved in within our society.
Well, thank you for that. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back. Welcome back to Alaska's Native Voice. I'm Antonia Gonzalez, and we're on the floor at the 2022 Alaska Federation of Natives Annual Convention. And we're talking about Alaska Native women and their rise in all levels of government and leadership, and even in the home. And we want to continue this conversation. We have Tara Sweeney joining us, and also Kulik Truvalio. Butchered your name, but I want to welcome you to the show. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Uvlalotek, Uvanga Kuluk Kravalio. I'm Liz Kuluk Kravalio. I'm Kikik Dagrakmi from Kotzebue, Alaska, and I'm really honored to join, well, Richard, who stepped away, but also Tara this morning, who I really take it's really great to see you. I really look up to you in your career.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and you were here and listening to the conversation. Anything you want to reflect on that you heard before we went to break?
Something I really appreciated is what Representative Paltola has shared, right, is that often I think our leadership is not, I remember growing up and hearing Helvi Sandvik and Marie Green talk about, you know, it's not really about being a woman per se, it's being in the room and in our cultures, doing what we do for our communities. And I think it's an honor to sit here with Tara and with Richard and others to talk about this. And I really agree with what Tara shared, is that it's about getting representation everywhere across government, in international spaces. I mean, geez, even the work that you've done, Tara, with Arctic Economic Council, the work you're currently doing, helping raise that awareness of our communities and all of our interests, it's so critical.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And Tara, reflecting on, you know, looking back at before we went to break, anything else that you wanted to share as Richard left us? It was great that he'd join us. And he's always been an advocate for Alaska Native women, but also his work throughout Indian country as well.
Well, you know, a couple of things. Whenever I've come to AFN, I've always acknowledged my grandmother. She's no longer with us, and I do know that, Liz, we have a ton of aunties who are either watching or listening, so I want to just kind of honor them and give them a shout-out and say good morning. Women in our society have, a healing quality, and Richard talked about kind of the divisiveness of the divisiveness across our country, and that's something that I saw as a concern here in Alaska as well. And the time really is now for women leadership to help bring our communities together, the different factions in the fabric of Alaska Native governance together, and to blur the lines a little bit between the political parties, because at the end of the day, we're all Alaskans.
And we did get a chance, our producer Emily Schwing had a chance to talk to people in the state and, of course, here at the Alaska Federation of Natives Annual Convention. So we wanted to play some clips from some men that she interviewed about the topic we're talking about today. We have John Pingayuk, and he's a Chupik elder in Chivak on Alaska's west coast. And he spent 30 years teaching his culture. So let's hear what he had to say.
It's about time that we recognize the women too, that they have they can make us have a good organizations, and they can be a lot of wisdom and knowledge that the way my grandfather have taught me that the women cannot be left behind and say, you can't speak, you cannot hunt. No, not that. Our roles are interwoven in one. And so the women has to start standing up and say, I can hunt and fish too.
And Kuluk, what is your thought about what this elder had to say?
I think something that I appreciate about what he shared is that women, and I think for it's kind of odd to me sometimes that we talk about women in leadership as though it's separate. I think there's a presence that has always been there for women and our roles in our communities, and I appreciate what he's sharing about recognizing and elevating that leadership in these institutions or systems in a Western space that are traditionally seen as male leadership. And so I think it's great to have our elders, especially, lift up women, recognize that role that we've had, like Tara said, unifying roles and the things that we can do to bring people together. I was just reflecting back even on Millie Hawley's presentation yesterday and the work that she's done in her community to unify the conversations that are happening around community expansion and how do we tackle these big issues. So I really think that what he shared is important and that recognition is really key.
And Millie was on our program yesterday as well, talking about the storm recovery and definitely great leadership from her as well. Tara, your thoughts?
John Pingayuk is such an insightful elder and man of Alaska. And so I had an opportunity to spend some time with him in 2010. And he has always been just supportive of women throughout Alaska, and I just appreciate all that he has had to say.
And he talked about, you know, also women being able to go hunting and fishing, and Mary talked about being on a fishing boat. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Tara?
Well, I have an auntie from Ulurnik, from Wainwright, who is probably the best sharpshooter on the North Slope, in my opinion. And I think that we should celebrate women out hunting, out fishing, captaining boats, and really providing for our communities.
And anything to add to that?
Oh, absolutely. I always think back to the diverse skill set in the women in my own family. My Aunt Ada was really involved in caretaking and helping. She was involved in medicine as a woman who only had an eighth grade education. But her sister, Laura Davis, was a hunter. She went out and she gathered ice to help provide water in the community. I think it's worth celebrating and continuing those traditions. And I think it's amazing to see some young women on the North Slope who are really out captaining, participating in whaling, and seeing some of the women in our communities do that as well. It's pretty awesome.
And with your role and your work, how do you see women being involved in land management?
Oh my goodness, I really appreciate our network of peers. Just even in the Alaska Native Regional Corporation community, I work with Jamie Murundi at Doyon, there's Tisha Kunz at Chalista. There are women out there doing this work on land management, and I think it speaks, just like any of us, to the proximity and importance of land to our culture, our way of life, continuing our language, but also making sure that we have land available so that communities can continue to grow, so that we can pursue responsible development that supports the presence of people to be able to be in our communities and subsist. And so one thing about the unifying quality is that we get to work together to tackle big issues, whether we're talking about gravel or a subsistence issue, all of those things.
And your thoughts on the land management, Tara?
I do believe that the woman's perspective in land management certainly is, it adds a lot of value. And there is that stewardship, that natural stewardship that women carry day to day. And having Liz in a position at her regional corporation looking after the land as a steward is empowering.
Well, let's go ahead and go to another clip. This year, well, every AFN, when it kicks off, and even at Elders and Youth Conference, veterans, military servicemen and women are recognized. This year, Benno Cleveland especially recognized women, and it was just, we've never seen that before happen at an AFN, but Benno Cleveland, he leads the Color Guard, and he is a longtime military veteran who is from the interior, and all the veterans came out and they presented the colors, and then Benno got on stage and he specifically recognized the women. So he spoke to producer Emily Schwing. Let's see what he has to say.
A lot of our women, they're taking leadership decisions now. A lot of them are stepping in, and I don't know why. The men are kind of taking a backward seat, and the women are starting to take over and doing a very good job of different areas of our lives and in the different corporations and business. So it's good for them to stand up and be who they are. Biggest thing is I didn't want to recognize our women veterans.
Yeah.
They're so forgotten, and we need to stop that.
And producer Emily Schwing also did a story about it for our KMBA news cast and also for Alaska Public Media Network. And just interviewing, she had a chance to interview some of those, I believe all of them, right? There were five women, so she interviewed them. So if you didn't get a chance to hear that, you can go to KNBA or the longer version on APRN and just hear what they had to say. And one of the things listening to the Native Women Veterans talk was just, even in the clip this morning, we heard how men still tried to help them, even though they were physically, mentally able to do everything. Tara, your thoughts on that?
I don't know what to say about that. I think naturally women are capable and strong and resilient. And sometimes people just forget that. And having the ability to assert yourself, to lift up other women in those types of situations is important.
And Liz?
Yeah, I just want to echo what Tara said, is that I think that that can happen. And I really want to go back to also what Richard shared, is that often that lifting up looks different in different spaces. And I see our men, and I really appreciate our veterans acknowledging our women. I mean, we have some of the highest rates of Alaskan people in the nation serving in this armed services, and we should recognize our women and support them when they're done with their service and honor that service.
Definitely, and also not only just military, but also law enforcement. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of Alaska Native women who are part of that. Go ahead, Liz, and law enforcement as well.
Oh, definitely. That reminds me of Tessa Baldwin, who's a young woman in our community in the Northwest Arctic Borough who's working on public safety for our region. And I think it goes back to that quality and value that women can bring to the conversation around public safety and the issues Alaska Native women, our Alaska Native men, our whole community face when it comes to public safety or lack thereof in our villages. And so providing that support to them, creating spaces where that style of leadership is honored and supported, is really important at this time.
And Tara?
Well, women in law enforcement, again, I keep going back to the same theme, that they come with a different set of approaches. And in law enforcement, oftentimes you'll find that when you have law enforcement coming into the communities or into the home, it's in a time of crisis. And having, again, a woman's touch in law enforcement can be a deciding factor on whether or not there is trauma or exposure to trauma in a very delicate situation. And so having that balance, going back to what Representative Peltola was talking about, having that balance throughout our communities, regardless of position, is extremely important for the balance and the mental health well-being of our people in our communities.
And there's, during AFN, there's a lot of discussions looking at policy, you know, a lot of different social issues, and just a lot of stuff that happens during the convention. And there's definitely a lot of women here. But one of the issues that is being talked about a lot, it was at the Elders and Youth Conference and also here at AFN, is the missing and murdered Indigenous people. And that's something, you know, in Alaska that is also being a lot of awareness is being raised on that. And also looking at how women can help examine this and help find, you know, ideas, share ideas of how to address this. Go ahead, Tara.
Well, when I served as assistant secretary, we initiated Operation Lady Justice and traveled across the country talking with community leaders and advocates about this very issue and what we needed to do as a society, as at that time in my role in the federal government, because Native American people, men, women, and children are deeply affected by the crisis of missing and murdered people in our communities. Women, again, we've seen leadership across the country, and I go to your home region within the Navajo Nation, raising awareness, the strong women up in the Pacific Northwest, bringing this issue to the forefront, and across the nation, the Red Ribbon Skirt Society. There's so many pockets of positive leadership trying to raise that awareness across the United States and especially here in Alaska. And as a society, we absolutely need to break down those barriers to ensure that there are victim services for those that are returned home, that there are wraparound services so that there's an integration back into the community so that there is healing, and that for victims' families, that they have the appropriate resources as they struggle through finding their loved ones either missing or murdered. It's all hands on deck all the time.
And Liz, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what more I could possibly add to what Tara said. I agree 100%. I wanted to wear purple today for Ashley Johnson Barr in our community. Who unfortunately we lost her, and I really appreciate her father's continued advocacy on her behalf. And I think a lot about what you're sharing, Tara, and the only other thing I would add in terms of those needs is the proximity of those resources. Navajo Nation is very large. Alaska is very large. We're very fortunate in our region to have a child advocacy center and some services that are out there, but we need to bring those services closer so that people have the ability to speak up and ask for the supports that they need and for communities to heal around this really important topic. And I think something that is also important is us finding ways to lift up the people who do stand up and try to speak to this issue, who try to raise awareness about something that is wrong in their community or what may be happening that might lead to a situation where we've got someone missing and murdered.
And it also makes me think about grassroots efforts, because thinking we've been covering this issue for so many years, and I think back to the movement and it being led by grassroots efforts, you know, in Canada and the U.S., and just thinking how a lot of the grassroots leaders are also women. There's a lot of women who lead these grassroots efforts, even when it comes to voting. So just, Tara, you know, just your comments on the grassroots efforts, whether it's missing and murdered Indigenous people voting, all kinds of issues that women are involved in.
I would just say never underestimate the power of a determined Native woman. That's it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's our best quote. But also, as we're sitting here discussing this issue, thinking about raising boys, I'm a mom of two boys. They're now teenagers. One's off to college. And just, you know, I made sure that he knew his grandmother, my grandmother, my mother, and their other grandmas, and, you know, every relative, and just making sure they also knew how to treat women, girls, and that to treat them as equals, and just the way we raise our boys. So whether it's your own son or a nephew or a member of the community, a lot of times, you know, we're taking care of more than just our own children, because that's just the Native value. So Liz, go ahead and start.
Yeah, sure. It's a great quote by Tara. I was thinking too, we have the immediate need, right, of response. that comes up, and your comment about raising our boys and our men in our community, being aunties, good aunts, good relatives to help teach good values and support people, and then help them when they make mistakes so that they don't snowball into other issues. I think it reflects too that the work that we're doing, especially as mothers, is generational, and that there's the immediate need that we have to respond to these issues, but there's also the work we have to do to deal with generational trauma, help our communities with healing, supporting our men to see themselves positively, to see themselves as respectful of women and themselves, and their aunts and their aunties. And so there's all of these layers to me in my mind about how the leadership crosses spaces and supports more than one generation.
Go ahead, Tara.
Well, thinking about my own son and the importance of the different women that he looks up to in his life, and creating that space so that he can establish those relationships. One of the things that my mother used to say to both me and my brother growing up was be gentle, loving, and kind. And it really made an impression on me as I learned to understand the value of those words as my son was, you know, born and having those conversations. And I found myself sharing those same words with him as a child, as a young man, as an adult. Be gentle, loving, and kind. And I'm really proud of the relationships that he has created with his aunties and aunts across the North Slope and across Alaska.
And I think it makes me think about, too, is just with technology and the technology we have today is that it's good, but it's also scary because oftentimes that's where our children are learning stuff and they're seeing different images. And we recently covered a story looking at Hollywood and how Hollywood portrayals have contributed to missing and murdered Indigenous women in the stereotypes, and having the Academy, a prestigious organization, excellence in movies, have officials come and apologize to the late actress Sasheen Littlefeather, but also to acknowledge that Native Americans and Indigenous people have been mistreated and misrepresented in the media. So it just kind of makes you think too, is, you know, there, you can't unsee things. So I think that also has, when we're raising our boys, to remind them of that. Any comments on that, Liz?
Well, naturally, I was telling producer Emily Schwing that I've been listening. I think public radio in particular for me has been important throughout my life because of my mom, who used to be a part of National Native News. And I think about you, Antonia. And I think that when it comes to media and representation, whether it's in entertainment or in journalism, it's so important to see our communities represented. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing in this program and then all of these amazing podcasts that are out there. But I think what you're highlighting also is really important to touch on, that we have more things that are being produced by our communities. And with the rise of technology and broadband, we're seeing the accessibility of that being much wider. I mean, it's amazing to hear all these young folks who are creating different podcasts, different ways to access our communities and talk about the issues that really matter to us in really organic ways. And so I know it's a little bit adjacent to what you're sharing, but I think that representation even in what's being produced is critical, and the accessibility of it is so exciting to see young people stepping up using this technology to tell our stories and maybe reflect better ways of thinking about our Indigenous women and our communities as well as men.
Go ahead, Tara. Tara, well, sorry about that.
So I was, again, recently in Iceland and looked up and saw Kathy Rexford and Princess. They're working on assignment. And to me, seeing them there, hearing what the project that they're working on was so inspiring. And I walked over as I was leaving and I thought, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. I need to thank them. And so, because we don't do that enough. And so as I was walking out, I did. I said, thank you for the work that you're doing on this project and really making sure that there is accuracy and it's culturally appropriate and that more of our people need to be involved in the media entertainment industries to accurately reflect why we are who we are. And they're doing a great job.
Yeah, I think that. Thank you. And thank you for thanking me, Liz. And, I, you know, also just, you know, we have just a few more minutes left on our program today. But looking at the future and what do we want to see in the future? Tara, what do you want to see from Alaska Native girls for the future?
I would say work with no fear. There are times where you're challenged and it's intimidating, but keeping in the back of your mind that standing behind you and alongside of you are the women who have walked before you, holding you up, either, you know, from the back or locking arms with you. You may not feel it or see it, but they're there. And there have been sacrifices made, and it's important to not let fear paralyze your progress, but it should be kind of that energy that catapults you forward, and you work through that fear. So working with no fear, as an Alaska Native woman, I would love to see more young women across sectors representing our people.
And Liz?
Yeah, I think a lot about our young leaders, and I guess to add to what Tara has shared here is that we're never doing the work alone. And no matter what space you move into, leadership and the work that you're doing, you're doing it with those locked arms. You're doing it with the support of your community behind you. And I think it's so important to keep that in mind and reach out for the supports that you need. And I will say that anyone coming up on that next generation is just keep in mind our roles to be aunties, to be mentors, to help bring along that next generation. It's that willingness to give back in that space is so, so important, and to acknowledge them and the work that they're doing as our young people are coming up, as well as recognizing our elders. So bringing that mentorship along without alongside having no fear and connecting, keeping that connection with your community. And I think our younger women are doing that. I mean, I think about Coffee and Clock. I think about some of the work that Jackie Lambert in our region is doing, and so, so energizing and exciting. And I think I realize now, looking at younger women too, is that I get energy from that as well. And don't underestimate the value of your presence.
And also a big shout out and thank you to all the artists. I mean, there's so many women downstairs and talking about the aunties and how, you know, that's across not only Alaska, but lower 48, you know, the aunties. And I saw some earrings, and she had named each one of them, and or like, you know, and they were called Auntie. And I was like, I mean, I wanted to buy a lot of stuff. But
I tell you, Cheryl Stein and I, every AFN that we're together, will door bust. And we had a plan yesterday. We were meeting at 7:30 for coffee, and we knew the doors were opening at 8:00, and we were like, you go here. There are a couple of our favorite vendors, and it was just sharp elbows, and we're like, we need to get there first. It's becoming increasingly competitive, right?
For sure, Liz.
I was going to say, I bet you also this year, now that we're back in person, I know people are like, oh man, I didn't get that moose hide I wanted. Like, they're like, all the things that we want to be able to get. Like, I was just like, 100%.
FOMO.
Yeah, totally. Like, I get in there, get my new earrings, get my stuff, get my Christmas presents.
Absolutely. And you walk by and you see somebody with the earrings that you wanted. Yes. You're like, oh girl, it's on.
Oh my gosh. My previous boss there, Lukine, one time walked up to me and she looked at my necklace and she was like, I remember that necklace from 2 AFNs ago. And I was like, oh no, I'm so sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Snizzy Liz, sister.
It's so true. And Emily and I were talking about it yesterday, and I kept seeing something that I want. She's like, you just need to go get it, because if you don't get it, and then you're just going to think about it and think about it.
It's so true.
So very true. Well, we only have about a couple minutes left. I want to thank you both for joining us. Your final thought, Tara, on our discussion today.
Well, I don't know if folks in Radio Land can hear the background, but the power of the drum is absolutely amazing. And there was a woman from Ulurnek year over year who was a crowd favorite. Her name was Maddie Onnavuk Bodfish. She had her own dances, but every time I hear a drum beat, I think of her and her dance performances. But she led by example through compassion and humor and love and respect. And so that drum beat behind us right now is absolutely powerful and just energizing.
And thank you for that. And thank you for the work that you're doing. And Liz, we got about less than a minute. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can fill it with a whole minute. I appreciate the topic today. And was thinking about when you said that, I was thinking about Pauline Carlo too and her singing and just the different women who are present during AFN. And we get to see so many different women across our regions who have been amazing leaders who have anchored us in the theme of unity, right? Like years of putting the time in, mentoring the next generation coming into AFN, mentoring leadership, and helping quirks correct in the conversation. I always think of that gentle, like, women, female energy. Yeah, that real gentle nudge for those who maybe can't see Tara and I. We're, like, gently moving our hand. Like, it's the gentle Anna auntie nudge.
Well, thank you so much for your work, too, and for being here today. You're listening to Alaska's Native Voice. And join us again tomorrow. And thank you to our staff, including Emily Schwing. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
AFN, Alaska's Native Voice. Produced and directed by Antonia Gonzalez and Emily Schwing. Broadcast support provided by Rasmussen Foundation, Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, ExxonMobil Alaska, Calista Corporation, Manilik Association, South Central Foundation, ConocoPhillips, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, and Donlin Gold. This is a production of KMBA and Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, brought to you through Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.